Welcome to the Danny Picard Show, Thursday, December 6, 2018, broadcasting from the Beantown, USA studio. Beantown, USA is Boston's home for customized screen printing and embroidery. Get more information on their website, beantownusa.com. On today's show, I will preview Week 14 in the NFL. I'll go over the clinching scenarios for the playoffs in Week 14. I'll also give you my DraftKings gotta have them play for Sunday's slate and picks for Week 14. And also, the baseball winter meetings begin this Sunday in Las Vegas, where I'm sure the Bryce Harper rumors are going to kick into full gear. What teams will be interested in Bryce Harper? What teams will be interested in giving him more than $300 million over a 10-year span? Or will there be some crazy opt-out clauses in that deal for Bryce Harper, and what teams will be going after him? I do have maybe one sleeper, and that's based on a move that was made yesterday on Wednesday. That's the Arizona Diamondbacks, because Mike Hazen, who's now calling the shots in the front office for the Diamondbacks, formerly of the Boston Red Sox, as you know, that Mike Hazen, and also the Mike Hazen who was a one-time guest on this show. Mike Hazen and the Arizona Diamondbacks, they made a huge trade yesterday on Wednesday. I'll tell you what that trade was. And speaking of baseball moves, we have some breaking news with the Red Sox as I'm recording this show this morning on Thursday, December 6th. The breaking news is coming from Ken Rosenthal. He is reporting that the Red Sox and Nathan Eovaldi have agreed on a new deal. So the Red Sox will re-sign Nathan Eovaldi. There was news that came out last night on Wednesday night that this was getting close. I'll give you those details, and then I'll tell you what I think. But the breaking news today is coming from Ken Rosenthal that the Red Sox and Nathan Eovaldi have agreed to terms on a contract. So Eovaldi was a free agent. He could have went anywhere. He could have maybe used the Red Sox to drive up his asking price, which I think he had every right to do based on the type of postseason that he had for the Red Sox and helping them win a World Series. But he's going to come back to the Red Sox. And I don't think the terms of this deal, if these terms are what we were hearing last night, I don't think they're too crazy. So I'll go over those details and I'll react to it, all of it, today on this show presented by DraftKings. Play for free at DraftKings.com or on the DraftKings app by using promo code PICK, P-I-C. That's promo code PICK, P-I-C, at DraftKings. There are no season-long commitments. And in Week 14 in the NFL, you have a chance to win $1 million in the Millionaire Special. $3 million in total prizes, with $1 million going to first place. Just pick your team and follow the action live on your DraftKings app. And fantasy football playoffs begin this week. And if you didn't make the fantasy football playoffs, this is a perfect time for you to continue to pay attention to Daily Fantasy, to continue to put out a fantasy team on Sunday and to keep an eye on it and root for your team. Just because you miss out in the fantasy football playoffs in your league, that doesn't mean you have to stop playing fantasy. And on top of it, you could win $1 million. So again, go to DraftKings.com or download the DraftKings app and get a free game by signing up using promo code PICK, P-I-C. That's promo code PICK, P-I-C, at DraftKings.com. Today's show is also presented by BetOnline. Sign up today at BetOnline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. That's promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% welcome bonus between college football and the college football bowl season, the NFL, the NBA, and even the NHL. This is the perfect time to make your online wages at betonline.ag and take full advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and also the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Betonline.ag. So welcome to the show on this Thursday, December 6th, as we roll into the holiday season. I know everybody's starting to go to their Christmas parties, their holiday parties, and it is freezing cold outside. I won't lie, though. Most winters, by now, I have made the complete transfer to hot coffee. It's but I'm doing it differently this year, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I'm sticking with iced coffee. I am still with iced coffee. It's 25 degrees outside, but I am still drinking iced coffee. I don't know why. Usually, I'm on to hot coffee by now. You know, you have that. What's the transfer date for that usually? Early November, mid-November? Or maybe it's late November around Thanksgiving? Usually by now, I am on to hot coffee. But this year, it's different. I don't know. It's a wacky year for me. 2018 was a wacky year. And I told you a couple days ago, I just can't wait to get to 2019. I cannot wait to get to 2019. But before we get to 2019, we have a pretty big event here at Beantown, USA, a week from this Saturday. Saturday, December 15th, I am running a Madden 19 tournament. You know, the video game, Madden 19 from EA Sports. I'm running a Madden 19 tournament. We still have some spots available. We're interested in maybe adding to the bracket. You know, we want to make a larger bracket for this tournament. So you'll be able to sign up for this thing up until late next week. Go to my website, DannyPicard.com. You can find it. It's called the Christmas Bowl, the first annual Christmas Bowl. It's a Madden 19 tournament. Some people have said to me, well, I haven't played Madden in a couple of years. You know, 5 years I haven't played Madden. Well, you play video games. If you still know how to play video games, then you'll be just fine. This is not the Madden World Championship, all right? This isn't the Madden Bowl. You know, people who are getting involved in tournaments like that, I can assure you they are not coming to play in the Christmas Bowl on Saturday, December 15th. But, you know, we'd still like it. We'd still like to make it somewhat competitive. There are some good players that are coming, but nobody that's going to be making it to the Madden World Championships. So don't be scared to sign up. We do have some proceeds that will be going to Boston Children's Hospital. I have partnered with Boston Children's Hospital. And we'll be doing some cool stuff for the hospital. So, look, this is going to be a cool event. Even if you don't want to play, make sure you swing by Beantown, USA in Dorchester on Granite Ave, Saturday, December 15th. But, again, looking for a couple more players. So if you think you want to show up, you know, make a little donation to charity, have a chance to even win something yourself, then go to my website, DannyPicard.com, and sign up for the first annual Christmas Bowl, which is a week from this Saturday. So that said, let's get to the show. I will get to my NFL stuff in just a few moments, but let's open with baseball, right? It makes me feel a little bit warmer than I am right now when I think of baseball. The winter meetings are going to be this weekend. As I told you in the intro, the winter meetings are in Las Vegas. They begin this Sunday, and that means next week we are really going to hear some Bryce Harper rumors. And not just Bryce Harper, also Manny Machado. They're both free agents. Because of that, it is a big free agent class. And, you know, I think that when you do dial it back here to the Red Sox, I have said in the past that maybe the Red Sox should consider Bryce Harper and maybe they should consider making some type of move right now. You know, you have to, if you're the Red Sox, I think you have to consider the contracts that you have coming up. You know, the guys that you need to re-sign. You're going to need to sign Mookie Betts. You're going to need to sign Xander Bogaerts. How about Jackie Bradley Jr.? I mean, you talk about guys like Rick Porcello. Don't forget Chris Sale. Yeah, you picked up his option for 2019, but after that, you got to sign him to a deal. I mean, the Red Sox, and I'm probably forgetting about somebody. The Red Sox have decisions to make. I don't know that they can bring all of those guys back. I don't know that they can. So, if you're Dave Dombrowski, president of baseball operations for the Red Sox, and I said this a couple weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, I wrote it in a column for the Boston Metro, I told you on this show, that if you're Dave Dombrowski, knowing all the decisions that you have to make, you know, you have to also understand that those players, when they're going to be free agents, will also be able to make their own decisions. And I don't know, maybe J.D. Martinez opts out. He's got these opt-outs after this coming season that were part of his contract, right? And so maybe other players will make decisions for themselves. If you're Dave Dombrowski, should you get one step ahead of it and maybe trade a player or two to open up a spot, which then would maybe open up some salary to make a move and get in the Bryce Harper sweepstakes right now? You know, if you're Dave Dombrowski, I think you should consider that. Kick the tires on it. See, would a team give you some top prospects for Jackie Bradley Jr.? Maybe you think David Price really doesn't want to be here and he has the highest trade value he's ever had and you don't want to pay him, you know, the crazy amount, the $31 million a year for the next 4 years. You don't want to do that. You think, well, you got what you were looking for out of him, helping you win a World Series. You got that postseason production as a starting pitcher out of him, and now maybe you sell, you know, you trade him off, trade him high with Jackie Bradley Jr. And you open up a spot in the outfield, you free up some money, you go after Bryce Harper. Look, I don't think those should be unrealistic options if you're Dave Dombrowski. To me, all options should be on the table. You know, if you're sitting there going, we're going to bring back the same team, or at least we're not going to consider making any changes because we won the World Series, well, I don't think you're putting your organization in the best spot to win back-to-back World Series, you know? And that's not to say if they do bring back the same team, they have no chance to win it. I mean, right now the Red Sox are one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to win the World Series next year again. I'm just saying you can't close the door on changes just because you won a World Series. You can't close the door on that. So, well, I'm sure there'll be rumors. I've mentioned the Red Sox when Bryce Harper's name has come up. I don't know that many other people have or will moving forward, but we'll certainly get a vibe as to what teams next week as the winter meetings go down in Vegas. We'll get a vibe as to what teams are serious about going all in on Bryce Harper. The Yankees can say they're not all in all they want. I think they will be in on that. I really do. I think the Yankees will be in on Harper. I think you'll see the Cubs. I think maybe even the Nationals, who had already offered him a $300 million deal that Bryce Harper rejected. I think they'll be in on him. You know, you're going to get some other teams. The Dodgers are going to be involved. Maybe a couple other teams that we're not even talking about. One of those teams could be, as I told you in the intro, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They made a huge trade yesterday. They traded all-star first baseman Paul Goldschmidt to the St. Louis Cardinals for three young players who are not really established major league players, but they're young enough where obviously Mike Hazen of the Diamondbacks sees something. But here's what I think Mike Hazen was doing. First and foremost, here's what I think he was doing. He was maximizing the return for Paul Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt is a guy that's going to hit you 30 home runs, driving 100 runs, get you 100 RBIs with 30 home runs every year. He's 31 years old. He's making $14.5 million this season. But then he's a free agent next year. And if you're getting a vibe, if you're Mike Hazen and the Diamondbacks, which I think they probably were, that he was going to test the free agent market and maybe ask for the big bucks, much more than $14.5 million, which he might get. At 31 years old, entering the final year of his deal, I think Mike Hazen said, we're not going to bring this guy back because we're not going to give him the money he wants at next year at 32 years old. And if we're going to move him, we might as well move him right now because we'll be maximizing the return. Like, if you hold on to Goldschmidt, you wait till the trade deadline. You know, if you're not in playoff contention, then you don't... How much leverage do you have? Other teams own that leverage on you, and you're probably not going to get the three young players that they received from the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, I don't know much about these three young players. I'm just reading you know, what people have written about him. A couple of them were top prospects in the Cardinals organization. So that's one thing. I think Mike Hazen saw a return that he knew he wouldn't get at the trade deadline in 2019. And he said, we're not going to bring Goldschmidt back. He's going to want too much money. He's going to be 32 years old when he's asking for that all that money next year. So let's maximize the return right now. But another thing he could have been thinking, and, you know, I think people, you know, the baseball experts will probably rule this out, but I can't rule it out when a trade like this is made right now with this timing. You can't rule out that the Diamondbacks, Mike Hazen, maybe he's also thinking, well, we're going to make a run at Bryce Harper. You know, you might be sitting there going, if we're going to give somebody a monster contract, we're going to give it to the kid who's 26 years old, not 31, 32. Right? Like, that's what you're going to do. So, you maximize your return on Goldschmidt right now, and maybe you make a run at Bryce Harper. I don't rule that out. If I, if I'm looking at this realistically, you know, Hazen had time with the Red Sox. He knows what it takes to bring in a big name player, a big money player. And I would not rule out the Diamondbacks. In fact, I would call him a legitimate sleeper right now to make a hot push for Bryce Harper. I think you might hear the Diamondbacks next week in the Bryce Harper conversation. I think you might. Because the Goldschmidt thing, if you look at it and you say, well, what's Arizona doing? They, you know, if they think they have a chance to make the playoffs next year, why would they trade Goldschmidt? Why would they, you know, why would they do that right now? Well, for the reasons I told you, maximizing your return. But also, the timing's interesting where you got this offseason with some big-name players available, and it's like, if you're a GM in Major League Baseball, wouldn't you rather give the big money to somebody who's 26, who's a proven stud? And, you know, people will come to me and go, Bryce Harper sucks. He doesn't hit for average. It's like, come on. Guy's going to hit you 35 to 40 home runs a year. I don't know that you could, you shouldn't sit there and look at a batting average from last season and try to tell me you're not going to pay for a kid who's 26, who's going to hit you that many home runs, who's, you know, the type of player Harper is. He's an exciting kid. You know, he's one of the best players in the league. I don't care what you say about the average. I would give Harper the money. And, you know, you put it this way, you'd rather give someone like Harper that crazy money than Goldschmidt. Based on the age, and even just based, I mean, just based on the player. Who would you rather have, Goldschmidt or Harper? Come on. Come on. Please. Please. It's Harper. And so maybe that's what the Diamondbacks, what they're thinking right now. But that was a move that was made yesterday on Wednesday. And today, as I told you, the Red Sox and Nathan Eovaldi sort of breaking news rolling in as I'm recording this show. Nathan Eovaldi and the Red Sox agree to a deal. Eovaldi was a free agent. The deal, at least here were the terms of the deal last night on Wednesday night. 4 years, $68 million. $17 million a season. So $17 million a season, a four-year deal. Nathan Eovaldi turns 29 in February. Now, I was going to say he'd get, I was going to say a good deal for Nathan Eovaldi. And you got to be, you, look, you have to be realistic if you're the Red Sox. You know, you can't sit there and offer Nathan Eovaldi $25 million a season. Maybe he asked for that. I don't know. Eovaldi, I mean, if I were him, I probably would have been asking for that just because I'd like to see somebody get to 20. You know, you ask for 25, you like to see somebody get to 20 with you. It doesn't look like anyone got to 20, but it looks like the Red Sox got to $17 million a season. I would say, I was going to say, you know, coming into the offseason, if Eovaldi, if you can bring him in at $15 million a season, 1-5, $15 million a year, maybe 3 or 4 year deal, I'd do that. I think that'd be a no-brainer for the Red Sox. You know, he's had Tommy John a couple times, but he's a power pitcher. I think you saw his makeup, his mental makeup in the postseason, which is a great thing to see. It's tough to find, and you can't let someone like that go. You can't let someone like that get away unless, obviously, they're asking for crazy money. And I just thought, coming into the offseason, that maybe anything more than 15 would be crazy. Well, I'm thinking anything more than 15, I'm thinking 20 mil. You want to meet in the middle at 17? I'm okay with this. 4 years, $17 million a season. Nathan Eovaldi, again, who turns 29 in February. You know, I think the fact that nobody gave him more than 17 is interesting. I thought maybe somebody would overpay. I really did. I thought someone would overpay and fall in love with a power pitcher who was great in the postseason for a World Series champ. I thought somebody would give him 20 mil. I did. They didn't. Red Sox get him for 17. I think it's a good deal. I think it's a good deal. If you're complaining about this deal today, you're looking for, you're basically just looking to get people to call into your show. That's basically all you're doing. So don't fall for it. I know a lot of people, they get had by folks on sports talk radio. Oh, I can't believe he feels this way. He doesn't feel that way. If you know baseball, you watch the postseason, you've watched Eovaldi, $17 million a year, knowing the situation that you're in with the Red Sox, a big market club, this is not going to kill them. This is not going to prevent them from making other moves in the future. This is not the Nathan Eovaldi contract, $17 million a season, over the next 4 years. This contract is not going to be the reason the Red Sox, you know, can't bring back all the players that I mentioned earlier. Right? Right? This is a good deal. This is a good deal. You need pitching to win. Nathan Eovaldi, he's a power pitcher. You need power pitching to win. And, you know, I think if you said no to this, and he goes, and Nathan Eovaldi signs with a team for maybe 15, 16, 17 mil, I think we'd be looking at it saying, why didn't the Red Sox give him 17 mil a year? Really? So, I think this is a good deal. Because of that, I think this is a good deal for the Red Sox. It is. We'll see what else they do. Again, winter meetings begin on Sunday in Las Vegas. Anything that happens in those winter meetings, I will react to it next week on my shows. But let's get to some football because we only have 4 weeks left in the regular season. And the playoffs will be here before you know it. Week 14. Week 14 begins with Tennessee hosting Jacksonville on Thursday Night Football. You going to watch this one? Now, by the time you listen to the show, it might be Friday morning, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this game. Tennessee's a 5-point favorite. Yeah, 5-point favorite, Tennessee, at home against Jacksonville. Tennessee's still alive. Jacksonville really is. I mean, mathematically, I guess Jacksonville is alive. Tennessee mathematically alive and realistically alive. I don't think Tennessee's going to get in. But if they do want to have a chance to get in moving forward, they're going to have to win this game on Thursday Night Football. So Tennessee hosts Jacksonville, not the most exciting matchup. Week 14 will end on Monday Night Football with Seattle hosting Minnesota. The Seahawks a 3-point favorite at home against the Vikings. This is a huge game. Seattle has won three straight. They're in the playoff picture right now if the playoffs began today. Minnesota's coming off a loss to the Patriots. They're both in the playoff picture if the playoffs began today. Playoffs began today. Seattle's the 5 seed. And Minnesota is the 6 seed. So, I mean, this is basically a playoff game, right? This is basically a playoff game, a huge game. It's in Seattle. And this is week 14 ends with this game on Monday Night Football. And then the Sunday Night Football game of the week on NBC is Chicago hosting the Rams. Mitch Trubisky is expected to make a return in this game. He's missed the last couple games. The Rams have some clinching scenarios, and I will get to that. The Rams are the only team in the league that's clinched anything. They clinched their division, the NFC West, last week with a win over Detroit. So, Sunday Night Football, the game of the week, is Chicago hosting the Rams. And then here locally, the Patriots. They're in Miami, Sunday at 1 o'clock. This game is on CBS. The Pats are a 7.5-point favorite in Miami. And a win for the Patriots will get them their 10th straight division title. Their 10th straight AFC East championship with a win in Miami. That's all they got to do is beat the Dolphins. You say that, 10th straight AFC title. And people will knock the division. They'll say, oh, this is a terrible division, right? And I guess I look around and I put Tom Brady in other divisions. And I'm like, and I know that I've had the conversation about Aaron Rodgers. I actually just wrote a column in the Boston Metro today on the difference between the Aaron Rodgers critics and the Tom Brady critics. Like, where are the critics for Aaron Rodgers right now? The Green Bay Packers are 4-7-1, about to miss the playoffs for the second straight year. Now, I know last year missing the playoffs wasn't really on Aaron Rodgers. He was out with an injury. Did return late to get when they still had a chance to make the playoffs. Couldn't get it done. But Aaron Rodgers, 4-7-1. They just fired their coach. They just lost to the lowly Arizona Cardinals at Lambeau. Packers at a home game. Aaron Rodgers only put up 17 points in the Cardinals. Could you imagine if Tom Brady was 4-7-1, only put up 17 points at Gillette Stadium against the Arizona Cardinals, the team that right now has 3 wins, they're 3-9. Can you imagine what people would be saying about Tom Brady? Those same people are not saying those things about Aaron Rodgers right now, and it's kind of driving me mad. But the point of my column was, you know, where are the Aaron Rodgers critics? Well, you know what they're focused on? They're focused on the Patriots and the Dolphins Sunday at 1 in Miami, and they're praying for Tom Brady to lose. They're hoping that Brady loses. They want Tom Brady to lose out. the rest of the regular season. Unfortunately for those people, the Patriots probably are going to win out, in my opinion. They'll win the next four games in Miami, in Pittsburgh, and then at home against Buffalo and at home against the Jets. And the Patriots are probably going to clinch the division for the 10th straight year Sunday in Miami with a win. I don't think this is going to be an easy game. In fact, I think this is kind of a dangerous game. Dolphins are 6-6. They're still alive in the playoff race. And I never really feel good about a game in Miami. I don't. I never really feel good about a divisional game on the road. I don't. Especially not in Miami. But I do think the Patriots will find a way to win this game. It's a hat and t-shirt game. You get a hat and a t-shirt if you win the division. 10 straight division titles. And it's amazing to me that you could say that, think about that, and then look at Aaron Rodgers and put him in the same conversation as Tom Brady for the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Aaron Rodgers is not in that conversation. And I say it week in and week out, he is not. Aaron Rodgers has had a great career. He's been a great quarterback his entire career. Okay? But the two are not equal. Like, being in the conversation for one of the greatest of all time is not the same as being a great quarterback your entire career. You can be a great quarterback your entire career, every single season, and not be in the conversation of greatest of all time. Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, is not in that conversation. Because I'd like to think that if Tom Brady was the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, the Packers would not be 4-7-1, and the Packers would not have only scored 17 points at home to the 3-9 Arizona Cardinals. Like, it just wouldn't happen. Right? It just wouldn't. So, the Aaron Rodgers critics, the reason they're not all over Aaron Rodgers is because those same people that should be all over Aaron Rodgers right now, they're focusing on Tom Brady, and they are sitting there hoping and praying that Brady loses to the Dolphins on Sunday in Miami. But I got news for you. That's probably not going to happen. So, Patriots, Dolphins, that's where our focus is. Patriots a 7.5-point favorite. That's high. I do think it's high. I think it's about a point high. A point too high. I could see Patriots winning by 7. But, you know, this is still, as much as I think the Patriots will win, this is a dangerous game in Miami Sunday at 1. But I do think when it's over, we'll be talking about another division championship. And that brings us to the clinching scenarios for Week 14. I told you the Rams are the only team to clinch anything. They clinched their division last week. And we'll begin with the AFC. And I just told you the Patriots can clinch the division with a win in Miami. Also, Houston can clinch their division, the AFC South, with a win over Indianapolis. This game is in Houston, Sunday at 1. But they also need... So Houston can clinch their division with a win over Indy at home and a Tennessee loss on Thursday Night Football to Jacksonville. So Houston needs a win and a Tennessee loss. Again, that Tennessee game, I don't think Tennessee's going to lose at home to Jacksonville, but crazier things have happened. So maybe Houston won't have a chance to clinch by the time you listen to this. But that's the scenario. I'm just reading you the scenario. Houston can clinch the division with a win over Indy and a Tennessee loss to Jacksonville. Okay? Kansas City can clinch a playoff berth with a win at home over Baltimore Sunday at 1. Or, if all of these following three teams lose, Miami, Indianapolis, and Tennessee. So, if you're Kansas City, don't worry about the three teams that you need to lose to clinch a playoff berth. I think we all know Kansas City is going to clinch a playoff berth at some point. But they can do it just with a win at home over Baltimore. You know, the Ravens talking about splitting time with Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco. All I needed to hear was that Baltimore was even considering that, for me to tell you that Kansas City's going to win that game. So Kansas City will probably clinch a playoff berth with a win. That's all they need to do to clinch that. And then the LA Chargers can also clinch a playoff berth with a win and a bunch of other stuff. They need multiple teams to lose. So Chargers need a win and help to clinch a playoff berth. Let's get to the NFC clinching scenarios. The Rams can clinch a first-round bye with a win in Chicago on Sunday Night Football. All they need to do is beat the Bears on Sunday night, and they clinch a first-round bye. I could see that happening. I could see the Rams winning that game. I think they will. So the Rams, they have a chance to get a first round bye on Sunday night. The Saints, the New Orleans Saints, they can clinch their division, the NFC South, with a win in Tampa Bay Sunday at 1 or a Carolina loss in Cleveland Sunday at 1. So the Saints can clinch the division with a win over Tampa or a Carolina loss to the Browns. I think the Saints will clinch the division because I think they'll beat Tampa. But let's say something crazy happens and they don't. I think it's possible that Carolina loses their fifth straight and loses to the Browns. Carolina was 6-2. They are now 6-6. They've lost four straight. They look like garbage. Cleveland, I think they're building something. The Browns are building something. And I could see Cleveland beating Carolina. I could. So I think the Saints, either way, will clinch the NFC South this weekend. The Saints can just clinch a playoff berth if they lose with three teams losing. Minnesota, Philly, and Washington. I told you, Minnesota's in Seattle, Philly is in Dallas, and Washington is at home versus the Giants. So I think at the very least, Saints, even if they lose, they have a chance to clinch a playoff berth as well as even winning the division. So those are the clinching scenarios for Week 14, which brings me to my picks. I'll get the picks in just a moment. But first, I want to give you my DraftKings. Gotta have them play for Sunday's slate. Sign up today at DraftKings.com or on the DraftKings app by using promo code PICK, P-I-C, to play for free with your first deposit. Last week, I gave you Kareem Hunt. And that was before I saw the video and heard about the domestic violence situation with Kareem Hunt. That was before we figured out that Kareem Hunt was a complete dirtbag. So I apologize for that pick, but I do have to clarify, I made that pick, Kareem Hunt, as my DraftKings gotta have him play last week before we heard or saw this stuff, right? So please don't think that I saw that video and then picked Kareem Hunt as my DraftKings gotta have him play. I didn't. He's a dirtbag, and I'm glad that the Chiefs released them, but I went on my NFL Roger Goodell Kareem Hunt rant on Monday's podcast, so if you want to listen to that, go download that. For now, I'm on to Week 14, and my DraftKings gotta have him play for Week 14 is Aaron Rodgers, $6,000. I know I've knocked Rodgers a lot this week, but I think he deserves to be knocked. I think Aaron Rodgers deserves some heat, but I'm making this pick with my head, not my heart. Rodgers is the 7th most expensive QB for Sunday's afternoon slate. Patrick Mahomes is the most expensive quarterback at $7,000. Aaron Rodgers is only going to cost you $6,000. And I think this will be a typical NFL start for a big-name quarterback. You fire the coach, the team rallies, you bounce back, you're at home, and you're playing one of the worst defenses in the league in the Atlanta Falcons defense. And you look at the Falcons right now, both of these teams, Atlanta and Green Bay, they both only have 4 wins. Neither of these two teams are making the playoffs this year. The Atlanta thing's a surprise to me. I'm not going to lie to you. Atlanta's a surprise. It really is. And Green Bay's a surprise too, actually. I mean, Green Bay's, who am I kidding? They're both a surprise. I'm surprised that both of these teams right now only have 4 wins. They only have a combined 8 wins going into Week 14. I'm surprised by that. But Atlanta's defense is brutal. One of the worst in the league. This game is at Lambeau. The Packers just fired their coach. I think the Packers are going to rally behind that. And Aaron Rodgers will probably lead the way. Pick with your head, not with your heart. Aaron Rodgers is my DraftKings. Got to have him play. I think he's going to go off. And $6,000 is a good price for a quarterback that's going to go off at home against one of the worst defenses in the league. Aaron Rodgers is my DraftKings. Got to have him play for Sunday. Again, sign up today at DraftKings.com or on the DraftKings app using promo code PICK, P-I-C, to play for free with your first deposit. And that brings me to picks for Week 14. Let's get to it. Hit the music. Picks for Week 14 as part of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge is presented by BetOnline. Sign up today at betonline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and also the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet, BetOnline.ag. I went 3-2 last week in Week 13. 3-2 for the second straight week. My record on the season is 43-22, 43 wins, 22 losses. That's with the money line, just picking straight up winners. You can check out the entire standings of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge on the website, podcastonesportsnet.com. You can also chime in on the trash talk on social media by using hashtag Sportsnet Challenge. Only 4 weeks left in the regular season, so let's get to it. Let's finish out strong, shall we? My first pick for week 14, I'm taking the New England Patriots over the Miami Dolphins. This game is Sunday at 1 o'clock in Miami. It's a hat and t-shirt game for the Patriots. They win the game, they clinch the division, they get a hat, they get a t-shirt. It will be the 10th straight division title for the Patriots. 10 straight division championships. That is wild. You can say whatever you want about the AFC East and the Patriots' opponents, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills. 10 straight division championships? That's crazy. The Patriots, forget about 10 straight division titles. They're trying to get to their 8th straight AFC championship. Think about how wild that is. And that is certainly a possibility. Right now, the Patriots, the number 2 seed in the AFC, at 9-3, they have a chance to get the 1 seed. If the Patriots win out, they have a chance to get the 1 seed. But one game at a time. I do think, as much as I think the Patriots are going to win Sunday at 1 in Miami, I do think this is a dangerous game. In fact, when I look at the rest of the Patriots' schedule, I think this might be the toughest game left for the Pats, Sunday at 1 in Miami. I never like these division games on the road, especially not in Miami. And yeah, I do see Pittsburgh in Week 15 the following weekend in Pittsburgh. I see that game clearly. I know what's at stake in that game, but Pittsburgh has kind of stumbled there a little bit down the stretch. And I think I maybe fear this game in Miami more than I fear that game in Pittsburgh in Week 15. Again, one game at a time. You look, this Dolphins team right now, they're 6-6. They're still alive. The Dolphins are still fighting for a playoff spot, which I think that's why I'm looking at this going, eh, this might not be the easiest game, but this might not be the easiest game for the Patriots, but it's one I do think they'll win. I think they know it's at stake. I think they know they see that they have to win out and have Kansas City lose a game to get the 1 seed. But like I will keep telling you, and I'll tell you after the Patriots beat the Dolphins, that 1 seed for the Patriots is very possible. I'm telling you, it is. Again, one game at a time. This one game, I'm taking the Patriots to beat the Dolphins. They might not cover the spread. They might only win by 3 or 6, maybe even just 7. The Patriots are a 7.5-point favorite, but I'm taking the Pats to win the game. Give them the hats. Give them the t-shirts. Give them their 10th straight division title, Patriots over the Dolphins, Sunday in Miami. Then I'm taking the Denver Broncos over the San Francisco 49ers. Don't look now. Do not look now. But the Broncos are 6-6, and they are in a great position to make a push for the number 6 seed for the final wild card spot in the AFC. I'm telling you right now, they've won 3 straight. They beat the Chargers, the Steelers, and the Bengals. If you look at the Broncos' schedule moving forward, here's why I say they're in a great position. Look at the Broncos' schedule moving forward. They have one of the easiest schedules in the league, at least one of the easiest schedules in the league that I've seen for a team that has a chance to still make the playoffs. They play in San Francisco this Sunday at 4 o'clock, which I'm taking the Broncos to beat San Fran. Then they play Cleveland at home, and then they play in Oakland, and then they're back home in Week 17 against the LA Chargers. Now, who knows? By the time you get to that Week 17 game, the Chargers might know what seed they're locked into in the playoffs. The Chargers might have nothing to play for. They might rest their guys. They might rest Phillip Rivers. Even if Melvin Gordon is back, they might rest Melvin Gordon. I'm telling you right now, this is an easy schedule for the Broncos. They're going to get in the tournament. And before the season began, I actually picked Denver. I picked Denver to get into the playoffs. I did. I picked them to be a wild card team. And I am not backing off that pick, especially looking at what they have in front of them. Again, they've won 3 straight. I'm taking the Broncos to win their 4th straight. They will take care of business against a 2-10 49ers team that is one of only 2 teams that's been officially eliminated from playoff contention. What are the 49ers playing for? They're playing for the number 1 overall pick in the 2019 draft. Now, they're battling an Oakland team that doesn't want to give up that spot. If the season ended today, Oakland would get the number 1 pick. over San Francisco. San Francisco would get the number 2 pick, correct? No, sorry. Arizona will get the number 2 pick. San Francisco would get the number 3 pick. But you get what I'm saying. It's still possible for San Fran to get the number 1 overall pick. So I don't think they're really trying to win this game. They're not going to tell you that. So I'll tell you. They're not going to try to win this game. Denver will beat San Fran Sunday in San Fran. I'm taking the Broncos to win that game. Then I'm taking the Chargers. The Chargers are a 14-point favorite over the Cincinnati Bengals. What should I really say about this game? The Chargers are 9-3. They look really good right now. A 14-point favorite at home against the 5-7 Bengals team, that says it all. This game is Sunday at 4 o'clock. Cincinnati has lost 4 straight. Andy Dalton is out for the season with an injury. All right, for the Chargers, no, Melvin Gordon will not play again. He's still out. What's he got, the knee injury, the sprained knee? Melvin Gordon's still out. But I'm not going to lie. When I'm looking at Cincinnati without Andy Dalton, I'm making my picks. I'm thinking to myself, is there any way that Cincinnati could go into L.A. and beat the Chargers, given how good the Chargers look right now? Well, I guess their shot would be that Melvin Gordon's out. But again, the Chargers have looked really good. I'm not picking against them. But do I pick them to win this game? So I Googled, I'm not going to lie, I had to Google who was going to be the starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. I had to Google it. With Andy Dalton out, I'm like, who is the Bengals starting quarterback? So I Googled it, and the name came up. Jeff Driskel is his name. Jeff Driskel is a sixth-round pick out of Louisiana Tech in 2016. And you know what I said after I saw that? After I Googled? Chargers by 20. Give me L.A. to whoop the Bengals in this one. I'm taking the Chargers over Cincinnati Sunday at 4:05 in LA. And then my next pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm taking Pittsburgh over Oakland. The Steelers are a 10.5-point favorite. This game is in Oakland. But the Steelers, I look back at Sunday Night Football against the Chargers. Pittsburgh got screwed by the refs. They did. Now, I'm a little biased because I had picked Pittsburgh to beat the Chargers in that game with picks in week 13. Maybe I was focusing on some of the bad calls by the refs more than other people. Either way, I think Pittsburgh got screwed last week. The Steelers are 7-4-1. I'm taking the Steelers to snap their two-game losing skid Sunday at 4:25 in Oakland against this Raiders team, mainly because, like I told you with San Francisco, the Raiders have also been eliminated from playoff contention. The Raiders are 2-10. They have the number one pick if the season ended today, and that's exactly what they want, the number one overall pick in the 2019 NFL Draft. Pittsburgh will be without running back James Conner still. Pittsburgh should go into Oakland. They should beat the Raiders. This is a must-win for Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh 7-4-1. If the playoffs began today, they're the fourth seed in the AFC. They have the 9-3 Houston Texans ahead of them. And then if you look at a potential first-round bye, they have the 9-3 Patriots and the 10-2 Chiefs ahead of them. I think Pittsburgh can forget about the one seed, but they still have a chance at a first-round bye because don't forget they play the Patriots next week in week 15. But Pittsburgh's got to beat a team like Oakland if they want to have a chance to beat a team like the Patriots in week 15. But they can't forget, they got Baltimore up there behind. Baltimore's 7-5, the same amount of wins as Pittsburgh. So this is a must-win game for the Steelers. If you want to not just get into the playoffs, but win your division, and also maybe have a chance at a first-round bye still here in the last 4 weeks, you got to beat a team like Oakland. That's exactly what they'll do. Give me Pittsburgh over the Raiders in Oakland Sunday at 4:25. And then my lock of the week, I'm taking the New Orleans Saints over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints are 10-2. They will be out for revenge Sunday at 1 o'clock in Tampa Bay. I say revenge because up until the Saints lost to the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football in Week 13, that was only the Saints' second loss of the season. Up until that game, the Saints had only lost one game. That was back in Week 1 at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, since that game in which Tampa Bay beat New Orleans 48-40 in Week 1, both of these teams have gone in different directions. New Orleans, obviously, is one of the best teams in the NFC. And right now, they are the number 2 seed in the NFC. And Tampa Bay, they are 5-7 on the outside looking in at a playoff berth. Tampa Bay's actually won 2 straight games, but I'm not sure how they're going to pull this one off in Week 14. Even though it's in Tampa Bay, the Saints are out for revenge. They're hungry because they're coming off a loss in which their offense got slowed down. And I just think that New Orleans, they won't be snoozing Sunday at 1 in Tampa. And the Tampa Bay's defense is terrible. The Saints are going to explode in this game. They know the number one seed in the NFC is still up for grabs. Give me New Orleans all day, every day as my lock of the week. The Saints over the Buccaneers Sunday at 1 o'clock in Tampa Bay. So picks for week 14. I'm taking the Patriots. I'm taking the Broncos. I'm taking the Chargers. The Steelers, and then my lock of the week, the New Orleans Saints. Picks for week 14 as part of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge is presented by Bet Online. Sign up today at betonline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts, and also the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet, BetOnline.ag. Thanks for joining me today. You can get this show whenever you want at Podcast One, also on iTunes, Spotify, and really anywhere podcasts are available. Also on my website, DannyPicard.com. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DannyPicard. I just released a new episode of Pick Up Your Sticks the other day as I played FIFA 19 against comedian Will Noonan. I think it's one of the best episodes of Pick Up Your Sticks I've thrown out there at you. So subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DannyPicard. Watch that video and more videos coming. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. I am out. Talk to you on Monday.